What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thanks for checking out this episode of... What are we doing here? We're doing Cruise Radio. Sorry about that. This episode of Cruise Radio... A review of Harmony of the Seas this week. Also, Sherry Laskin dropping by with cruise news. I got thrown off at the beginning of the show because I just recorded my Cruise Radio news briefs. And speaking of that, a good segue. If you want to listen to the Cruise Radio news briefs Monday through Friday, three things you need to know every day, subscribe to our Cruise Radio news podcast feed. It's separate from this one, but we'd love to have you over there. As long as you keep showing up, I'll keep doing it. All right, Sherry is here with cruise news. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Doug.
So literally like minutes after we recorded last week, Carnival comes out with naming their XL ship, that's the 180,000-ton ship, the Mardi Gras. My question is to you, what do you think about them using a name from 1972 in 2020?
Well, you're probably going to laugh, but I like it. You know, I'm a retro-type person anyway, so I'm excited. I was at the University of Miami in 1972, and when we heard that the ship had hit a sandbar just off the port, off of Port of Miami, but that was before it was called Port Miami, a whole bunch of us went down there to see a little speck of the ship out on the horizon, just sort of stuck for a while. So I think it's great that they're using the name, and it, you know, it's a first in a new class of ship. It's a 50th anniversary coming up, so they have some reasons for doing that, I think. And it won't launch until 2020 anyway, and it's going to be up in my neck of the woods at Port Canaveral, so I'm pretty excited.
So it makes me wonder if they'll use another throwback name for their next XL-class ship.
I was wondering that, too, in the Carnival and all those. Well, who knows? The Tropical?
Yeah.
You know, they just might. You know, just... There's so many duplicate names now that it, you know, if they want to start from scratch and move their way forward, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Royal Caribbean, they're dumping their DreamWorks partnership after, like, what, 8 years?
Yeah, it's not been that long. You know, and I guess the scuttlebutt that I hear people talking about is that the passengers just aren't that interested anymore. They're doing more active experiences on the ship. So beginning April 1, DreamWorks will no longer be on the Royal Caribbean ships. It's only on 9 anyway, but, you know, that includes... the cartoon characters from, what, Madagascar and Shrek. And, yeah, it started on the Allure. I remember when the Allure came out in 2010. That's when DreamWorks debuted. And the other ships that have the experience are the Anthem, Freedom, Harmony, Liberty, Oasis, Ovation, Quantum, and Voyager. So you're okay if you're cruising before April 2nd. You'll still have the DreamWorks experience on those ships. But after that, it's gone.
You also have to think of licensing for these characters because, I mean, for DreamWorks, that is not cheap.
Yeah, if it doesn't, you know, if the return on investment isn't there, it has to cost a fortune to be in conjunction with DreamWorks.
And speaking of Royal, they're building a new terminal and a Gulf Coast port.
They are. They're going to put a third terminal down in the Port of Galveston. It's going to cost somewhere near $100 million, but it has been confirmed they're going to do that. So, you know, they're probably thinking they're going to bring in an Oasis-class ship to Texas. The new terminal is set to open not until the fall of 2021. So if you're in a hurry to jump on one of the Oasis-class ships, you have a little bit of a wait, but it'll happen.
Have you seen Royal Caribbean's new terminal in Port Miami yet? What is it, Terminal A?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's really slick looking. Wow. The person I was with a couple of weeks ago down there, they were like, you leave Port Miami this way. And it was not the way to leave Port Miami. It dead ended us right into Royal Caribbean's new terminal. So I got to look at it. And it was really, really slick. So looking forward to sailing out of that one day. Miami, speaking of, just broke a cruise passenger record.
Yes, they did. And it happened last Sunday. An estimated 52,000 passengers descended on Port Miami as they were either debarking or going to embark, and it actually set a one-day record for passenger traffic. It was 9 different ships from 7 cruise lines were there. And again, I can go through the list, but you can imagine it's all the majors were there, plus one high-speed catamaran. So I can only imagine the parking structures trying to get in and out, and I'm just glad I wasn't there.
Well, now, there were a few people that were embarking and disembarking, some listeners that kind of check in with me on Twitter and on Facebook.
Nice.
And a couple of them said it was flawless, and a couple of them said it was a hot mess. So we'll go somewhere in between.
Yeah, I was at Port Everglades on a Sunday coming back, and there were 12 ships in port. Don't ask, 12?
Yeah,
there were. And this was, this must have been several years ago, but I sat in the parking garage, that big one across from terminals, 21 and 22, mm-hmm. 2.5 hours to get out of the garage.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was awful. I don't think that's ever happened again, but I'm glad the one in Miami went a lot better.
And imagine the airport, how crowded that was that day. And I'm sure it was crowded Sunday, too, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, that would be fun. Well, let's see. A cruise ship hit a cruise pier, a dock in Key West, and it looks like that dock is out of commission for a little while now.
Yeah, it did. The incident happened at Key West, the popular Mallory Square, on November 27th. So it was, a couple of weeks ago. But the Silver Sea, Silver Spirit was attempting to sail away. It had gotten clearance to leave, but there were really high winds. So as the ship left, it couldn't quite make the turnaround, and it ended up crashing into one of the cement pilings. Ouch. The ship sustained only some scratches, and some of the paint got nicked, but the cement piling was totally destroyed, and the damage is about $500,000. So for the next 3 months, that pier is not going to be open, but fortunately for Key West lovers that like to cruise there, two other piers will be open and are open. One is Margaritaville, and the other one is at the Truman Waterfront Park.
Listener question comes from Katie in South Carolina. When is the best time to board a ship on embarkation day?
That's a great question, and every time I'm heading out on a cruise, I think, what time should I go to get the least amount of traffic to board? I hate those lines where they snake through the Disney-type cordons, the ropes. And I've found my favorite time, and I will forego the Lido buffet lunch just to do this, is to get there about 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. If all aboard, if the final boarding is at 4, I'll pull into the parking lot about 2:30, 2:45, and just take my time, just breeze right through embarkation. But if you do want to get there for the luncheon, I would suggest getting there and getting your, if you're driving, get in the garage about 10:30, 10:45, and don't rush. But you're going to hit a little bit of a crowd. You may be towards the front of the crowd, depending on how they conduct the embarkation. But if you just want to get there and not worry and not, have to sit around and wait, just come about an hour and a half before the last call for boarding is. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, rush hour is pretty much around, I would say between 11 and 2. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Years ago when I worked at Port Canaveral learning immigration and how to check people in, I just wanted to get a hands-on feel for what it was. And we were swamped from 11 to, just like you said, 2 o'clock. I mean, it was such a crunch. And then it was, it would taper down and the last stragglers would trickle into the doors. And they were stressed less, unless they were running late. But for the most part, later is much less crowded. And people aren't, getting a little antsy or hungry. If someone had just flown in and were up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they haven't eaten, and they get to the terminal and they can't board until 11 or 11:30, sometimes boarding is delayed. If there's a impromptu CDC inspection, you're going to be waiting there. So I don't like waiting, so I just get there later.
Yeah, I'm with you on the late thing. The other day, whenever I was on Carnival Breeze, last month in November, we got there at 2:15, and we walked straight from the curb to the ship, and it was 7.5 minutes we were actually on board the ship. So for me, later is better. I realize people want to get every second out of their vacation, so if you want to go early, get there early. And by the way, if you have a listener question, drop me a line, doug@cruiseradio.net, doug@cruiseradio.net. Been talking with Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Doug.
If you have an Amazon Alexa-enabled device, ask her to enable the Cruise Radio News Skill so you can get daily updates anytime straight from Cruise Radio.
Every day, thousands of cruisers set sail to the Caribbean and are increasingly choosing their shore excursions through cruisingexcursions.com. Why cruising excursions? With prices up to 60% lower than cruise lines, around-the-clock customer service, and guarantees that give you a peace of mind, why not? So whether you're looking to zipline in Jamaica, snorkel in Nassau, or see Mayan ruins in Mexico, market-leading specialist cruisingexcursions.com has you covered. Book your family's next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
We'd love to hear your comments. Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Parker and his family just returned from a seven-night Eastern Caribbean sailing aboard Royal Caribbean's Harmony of the Seas, and he joins us on the line. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, man. Can't wait to hear about this. I sailed the ship back in, well, about 2 years ago when it first came to the U.S. and haven't heard much about it since then. So excited to talk all about Harmony of the Seas, which was then the world's largest ship. Of course, a couple others out since then. But before we get to the ship itself, let's take a step back and give us some pre-cruise thoughts about Harmony.
Basically, it was pretty simple for us. Our son was graduating, and when our kids graduate, they always get to choose the trip they get to go on after their graduation. And so our youngest decided he wanted to go on the biggest, best ship out there, and that was Harmony at the time. And so it made it pretty simple. It was just a matter of Eastern or Western, and he was sick of going to Mexico. We go there quite often, so we went ahead and chose the Eastern Caribbean and did the planning started from there. It was pretty much the ball was in his court.
What a tough life. Dad, I'm tired of going to Mexico. Let's go somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah, they're a little spoiled.
That's awesome. So you're out in Vegas, and you made your way to Fort Lauderdale. Any pre-cruise stay?
Yeah, we stayed at the Four Point Sheraton near the cruise port. Got in a couple days early because Southwest had a spectacular deal, saved us a buttload of money on airfare. So we got in a couple days early, actually, this time. Stay was great. It was close to walking distance to restaurants and all the food and shopping you could need. The only bummer was where I booked it through, they advertised a free shuttle to the cruise port. It was actually $8 per person. So that was probably the only downside to it. That was unexpected. I should have done more research on myself and not just booked it through the vendor I did. It was a great place to stay. Plenty to do there in Fort Lauderdale.
You know, because that does add up. Like, you had, like, six people traveling with you, so that's, like, what, 40-something bucks each way. More than that when you throw a tip in there. So, like, companies like Lyft and Uber are always good. And they're really cheap. Like, you could go from the airport to Port Everglades, the cruise pier, for, like, 10 bucks in an Uber. It's really affordable.
Yeah, that's what we ended up doing. We had eight total, and we ended up doing two Lyft pluses, and it was still, even after tipping out the Lyft drivers, it was still about, I think, $10 cheaper using two Lyfts versus a shared shuttle.
Yeah, totally. So you make your way to Port Everglades. Terminal 18 is where Harmony of the Seas docks. How was the embarkation for you?
It was smooth. Testing out the new expedited boarding with a lure, and so I wasn't sure if we were going to get the same type of thing or not. We didn't. We got a traditional check-in where we went through security and went to the desks to check in. But when we pulled up, there was plenty of porters. They grabbed our luggage right away, got in to the check-in, curb to ship within about 15 minutes. The way that they do it with the Harmony, you know, you do a lot of pre-board check-ins. You're able to upload photos if you follow the directions. They didn't have to take our photos or anything. They just verified the documents, made sure my card covered everybody's cabins, and sent us on our way. So it was very quick.
You mentioned that they were testing out, like, expedited embarkation on a lure of the seas. What is that all about?
On certain sailings, they're testing, like, a facial recognition, where basically you just walk into the terminal, and from what I understand, there's just people with iPads there to help you out if you need to. Otherwise, you just continue walking through to the ship, not having to stop at a check-in point. As long as your documents are in order, you just walk straight into the ship.
You make your way on board the ship. What were your first impressions of Harmony?
Different. I mean, I'm a traditional cruiser, so it was kind of weird walking in, and I literally felt like I was in a shopping mall. Mm-hmm. You know, this was our first time on Harmony, and actually any of the Oasis classes, and we just walked in, and I didn't really feel like I was on a cruise ship. That was actually the first words out of my son's mouth, which he kind of liked it. He liked the feel of it. Cool art, just people everywhere. They had quite a few people from the ship there to help out, kind of point you in the right direction. It wasn't necessarily, you know, a help desk type situation, but it was more along the lines of answering your question and more or less pushing you along, trying to find what destination you're looking for and moving you as quickly to that area as possible. I'm assuming just to help with the crowd control. They do board the ship on two different locations, but it does kind of back up a little bit at times, I was noticing.
What's the first thing you did once you got on board?
As soon as we got on board, we just kind of walked around the promenade, checked it out. It was, you know, gorgeous. The ship is, you know, just spotless. And we did our traditional grab a drink and start exploring. Went down to the lower decks and worked our way up. You know, we had to check out the ice rink, you know, the casino, just kind of see all the different venues on the ship. We like to get ourselves situated as far as where everything is before we start sailing.
Totally. You make your way to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you book, and what did you think of it?
We booked the boardwalk balconies. Our son really wanted a Central Park, but by the time we got around to actually booking, they were already sold out. So we took the boardwalk, which was kind of cool because you get some perks with booking those interior balconies. You got the free Johnny Rockets and free soda packages and things. The room was great. Layout's a little different than I'm used to just because of assuming how they have to kind of squeeze the cabins in there. So we had plenty of storage, but it didn't feel as open as we're used to with balcony cabins. There was no table in front of the couch or anything like that. But all in all, it fit us perfectly. The room was great, at least at the beginning. So we did run into some issues that night. We realized how loud it was. Mm-hmm. It was kind of caught us off guard. It was fairly quiet when we first got there, but by the night, when that water show goes, it just booms inside your rooms. And, you know, the shows usually start wrapping up around 10:30, 11, but you could hear people up on the basketball courts and the ping pong tables screaming and yelling. It almost felt like there was somebody outside our balcony screaming in our room up until about 1 o'clock at night when curfew was. So, you know, I was kind of shocked to see that they didn't offer or just place earplugs in the staterooms for these rooms, because we had a total of four. Mm-hmm. And all four of us had issues. We ended up, some of them went down and got some earplugs from guest services, which are complimentary. You can just go down and ask and they'll give them to you. But it was surprisingly loud.
That's interesting because the location and how loud it is. So is that guarantee balcony or was that like an assigned one?
No, it was assigned.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely assigned. And it wasn't just our cabin. I mean, there was times, a couple nights throughout the cruise, the Aqua Theater's TVs just randomly came on around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning and were just blaring Red Bull TV. And it was enough that I went out to the balcony and almost every balcony in the boardwalk section had people out trying to figure out what was going on.
Huh.
So it's not just isolated to a specific room location. It seems like everybody was having the same issues as far as the noise goes.
For the dining, we'll talk about dining here for Harmony of the Seas. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, what time dining did you have?
I call it your time dining. I don't remember what they call it on Royal, but it was a little different than what we're used to as well. The large group, we take that chance with the your time. Sometimes you have to wait, but with the Harmony, you're able to make reservations, which was kind of nice. Mm-hmm. We made reservations before we boarded, and it was great. The first night was a little chaotic. The ship definitely has logistic issues as far as how the staff, you know, helps with the flow of traffic throughout the cruise, but we got to dining, got in line for the reservation line because there's a non-reservation line as well. Got all the way through and then we're told that we had to go get into another line for groups. There's no signage or no one there to talk to us beforehand. So it was kind of disappointing that we sat there for 15 minutes waiting in line and then had to go stand another 10 minutes in another line. But after that first night, it was flawless. We walked in at our assigned time, waved to the groups coordinator for the dining room, and walked straight to our table. It was very nice. So we didn't get escorted by any staff members after the first night. It was just kind of come as you are and go have a seat and enjoy. So it turned out pretty good.
They have a couple of main dining rooms on that ship. Did you do the same dining room every night?
Yes, they do assign your dining. So there's three levels, and we were in Silk, which is the top level on deck 5. Mm-hmm. And the Silk room, dining room, and I don't remember the other one, but the dining room on deck 4, both of those are actually assigned for your time dining. Based off how everything else was running on the ship, I'm assuming if you're after midship, mm-hmm. then you're in Silk. If you're forward of midship, then you're probably in the deck 4 your time dining, because they pretty much split everything that way for anything to do with the ship. And then the deck 3 dining room was for your assigned dining times.
Okay. And as far as your service in there and the food, how was that?
Spectacular. Our servers were amazing. Very engaging with our family. Our family's not very shy, so we kind of pulled people into our group, and I kind of felt bad because I almost feel like we took our servers away from other tables longer than we should have, but they were very engaging. During a conversation, the assistant server, who's from India, realized that I enjoy Indian food. And he actually two nights went down to their crew mess hall and brought me up the Indian food offerings that they offer the crew, which I thought was kind of nice.
It was,
you know, I walked out overfilled because I didn't realize he was doing it the first night, and ordered my normal dinner. And then he brought me a whole other dinner on top of it. But it was kind of a unique experience. I've never had that happen before, and it was a little bit different. And the food was, you know, it's Royal Caribbean does a really good job with their dining, and all their food was great.
How about up top at the Windjammer Buffet? How was that?
We only had lunch there once, and we had breakfast there a couple times. It went great. I like the fact that when you walk in, you don't just have the hand sanitizer. You actually have a washroom on both sides. So you have, I think it was 5 or 6 sinks where you can actually wash your hands, and they highly encourage people to do that. They also have the hand sanitizer. They push for you to wash your hands, which was nice. The flow was nice. Didn't really have great advertisement as far as where the food was, what type of food was where. We kind of found a hidden taco bar one day and a hidden pasta bar in the very back, but everything was delicious. Everything was fresh. It wasn't huge trays of food. It was more, you know, put out in small portions at, you know, certain times, so it didn't sit there and just bake. All together, it was great. It was kind of one thing about the Windjammer, which I've never experienced, and I'm assuming it's just because of the size of the ship. Embarkation, they actually had a pre-recorded announcement come across that basically asked you to leave. It was kind of weird at first, but I understood once we looked around. They were asking, if you're done with your dining experience, please get up and go somewhere else, is for the most part what the message said, because other guests want to be able to enjoy the experience you're having. So that was kind of weird. They played that twice while we were sitting there. And obviously it worked, because we did have a table next to us just get up and go as soon as they heard it. So I'm assuming it's because of the size of the ship.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. That's the first time I've ever have heard of that happening. So I guess it does happen. As far as specialty dining, did you do any of that?
The only one we did was Johnny Rockets. Because this is all about our son, he's a little picky on what he eats. So most of the dining is a little bit too highfalutin for his taste buds. He likes his chicken nuggets and French fries. So we did the Johnny Rockets one night. You know, it was good. It's typical Johnny Rockets. You know, you get your free fries, your unlimited fries and onion rings at the beginning to fill you up. You get your burger, which is, you know, way too big, but good enough to eat. But the staff there was great. I mean, once again, it's just like the dining room staff. They really kind of, the lady who was helping us just engaged with our family. And we actually saw her a couple of times at like the hot dog stand and on other days. And she remembered us and, you know, was continuing on little jokes that we had just during that one time we dined with her. So it was good.
What was the upcharge?
The dining room was, it was complimentary for us.
Okay.
Because we were in the boardwalk balconies.
Okay.
So I believe they changed their price not too long ago. It used to be like $7 per person. I believe it's now $10 per person, if I remember right. I haven't been able to look that up since I got home, but I believe it is $10 per person, but it is all you can eat. And you can order multiple hamburgers. You can order, you know, all the fries and then sides and cheese fries and everything you want. So for $10, and if one burger doesn't fill you up, you can always sit there and have another.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see here. So let's talk about the sea days then. How does a ship that big handle at sea with crowds and congestion?
Surprisingly well. The ship does have 4 kind of pool areas, and the pools, I walked past the pools multiple times, and they were never overcrowded. Mm-hmm. It was always, I don't like to get into overcrowded pools. And every time I walked past the pools, there was plenty of room. I would have felt very comfortable getting in. Deck chairs, there were plenty of them everywhere. They had some in the direct sun for people who wanted to sunbathe. They had some underneath overhangs. And in every corner you turned, there was a deck chair on the pool decks. So you always had a place to sit. They had bartenders. They had like mobile bartenders, like stations all throughout the Lido deck as well. So you always had a drink in your hand, no matter what, if you wanted one. And same with even the sports deck where the flow riders are. They have the dual flow riders, one's for boogie boarding only and one's for the stand up. Yeah. And we did both. And I don't think we waited more than 20 minutes in line to get on either one of them. So I would have to say the longest line was probably the zip line. And that I was talking to people who were waiting in line and they didn't wait more than 20 minutes themselves. So everything moved very quickly.
Did you have to make reservations for those, for the zip line or the flow rider?
No, that was just get in line and go.
Okay, cool.
Even like the Ultimate Abyss, the line, I think the longest we waited in the line for that was 5 minutes. You know, the line seemed as intimidating because they were kind of long, but they moved very quickly.
Hmm. How was the entertainment on board this ship?
Some of the best at sea. Royal Caribbean, I think, has, in my opinion, always had a step up on or leg up on the entertainment compared to most other cruise lines over the last few years. And it was the same here. The water show, the one that you had to make reservations for was, I think it's called The Fine Line. Spectacular. Very strong, hidden message. Only a couple people in our group actually kind of got the message, the struggle that was going on during the show. The rest of them just sat there and enjoyed it and didn't even realize what the show was truly about, but had a lot of fun watching it. You know, so the aqua shows are spectacular. There's two of them. One, like I said, you had to have reservations for, and then towards the end of the cruise, they had another one, more of a daytime show. And it was fun. It wasn't nearly as entertaining as the first show, but it was more like a throwback to the like Havana days, like the Lucille Ball type days of entertainment. It was good. We got to see Grease for a theater at sea. You would never know you were at sea. It was just as good as watching it at any Broadway or, you know, major theater touring company. The only disappointment was probably their headliner. He was, you know, it seemed like a lot of people enjoy the show. It just wasn't our taste. We've kind of have an ongoing joke about the headliner for this cruise. They bring him on board for the cruise and, you know, it changes pretty much every cruise. So who knows who's going to get who when you go on, and they don't announce it until you're on board. But
yeah,
it was a way to get away and laugh a little bit.
How was the cruise director on board?
That was one other thing I kind of missed. I missed the cruise director. Mm-hmm. I didn't even actually see or hear the cruise director until day three. We saw him at one of the shows. He came at the very end and made a quick announcement, and he didn't even announce that he was the cruise director. He just announced his name, gave us some information, and then left. It's more the cruise director, I think because it's such a large ship, that's his role. He's kind of coordinating everything. I'm assuming behind the scenes helps plan everything and make sure everything runs smoothly. But as far as engagement goes, he was really only there for a couple of, you know, things as far as the shows go. He had a party in the promenade at one point, but you know, I really couldn't tell you how he was. I saw his staff more than I did him, and I heard his staff more than I heard him. To this day, I couldn't even tell you his name.
Back to the public areas around the ship, was smoking an issue as far as like smoke wafting out of the casino?
Not at all.
No.
The only issue that with smoking is we do have one smoker in our group that we travel with, mm-hmm. and his issue was that there was only two smoking areas. So the casino is on deck four, and the way the ventilation is set up, you know, our stairwell that we used most of the time to get down to deck five, which is where the promenade is, you would never even know there was a casino below you. Even walking through the casino, unless you were walking by somebody who was actively smoking, mm-hmm. I really didn't even smell smoke in the air. It was quite nice. So that was one thing I'd have to say was nice, was the ventilation obviously, you know, stepped up the game there, the casino. The other smoking area is on the pool deck, just on one side over by, I believe it's over by the dive shop. And even there, like I said, unless you're walking right next to somebody who is actually blowing smoke out, mm-hmm. you really didn't even smell the smoke. It was anybody who's sensitive to smoke could easily enjoy this entire ship no matter where they go.
What ports of call did you hit on this 7-night sailing? And give us a highlight from each one.
We did St. Martin, San Juan, and Labadee. We ended up pulling into St. Martin first. And we didn't really have anything planned other than we wanted to go to the French side and do some shopping. And then we wanted to check out the plane's landing over at the Sunset Bar. The island itself, you know, it's got a long ways to go. It was kind of sad to see the devastation still compared to what it used to be. But the morale of the locals is very high. It's just they're here, they're going to rebuild, and they're just hoping that this hurricane season gives them a little bit of a break so they can continue to rebuild. But we went over to the French side. The shopping area over there was a little devastated, a lot more vendors on the street because the buildings were damaged, and had a great lunch there with a local that's been there forever, and you know, his entire staff was very accommodating, high spirits, just excited to see us there, which was nice to see. You know, went over to Moho Beach, the Sunset Bar, and enjoyed a few drinks and, you know, watched the planes land, and they seemed to be trying to enforce the no hanging onto the fence laws, but the police never showed up despite many threats. But it was a lot of fun, you know, but still a little sad to see some of the devastation, but I think, you know, it's just a testament to how much they need the tourists there to bring in the money.
Yeah. And then you went to San Juan. How was that? Because that as well, of course, impacted by the hurricanes.
Yeah, San Juan, you could see, obviously, the money really went to the port city itself, right there, right off the ports. The buildings were beautiful. Everything was very clean and put together. So that they obviously put their money into the tourist area itself. We ended up doing an ATV excursion there. And so we got to go about 20 minutes outside of town to a little plantation. And as you're driving through, you started seeing the devastation, you know, houses just completely destroyed. The big, you know, billboards you see on the side of the freeway collapsed onto apartment buildings and just sitting there. So you still saw the devastation outside the tourist areas, but even then, you know, they seem to be slowly putting things back together. I have a friend that lives out in the middle part of the island out there, and his house was completely annihilated, and his neighborhood is still pretty rough, but they, like everything else out in the Caribbean, they all have high spirits and they're working together to try to rebuild together. But we got to the plantation and it was beautiful. We did about 2 hours of ATVing through this old sugarcane plantation that ended up in a little mojito bar, grabbed some chicken and a couple drinks, relaxed. Honestly, a very good experience. Unfortunately, it does take the entire day in San Juan. So when we got back, it was all aboard and time for us to move on. We couldn't do any shopping or anything like that.
And then your last stop was in Labadee. How was that?
Labadee was great. We jumped off as soon as we could. You know, logistically, once again, the Harmony had some issues with the staff kind of moving people along in the right way. There's lines all over the place that made no sense, really irritating people trying to get off. But once you got off, you take that long walk down the pier, and we jumped straight onto the first shuttle that we saw. They have little shuttles that will take you all over the island instead of walking. And so we got to our location first, and we were one of the first 10 people there. And they had people on the island that were helping you set up your loungers. You know, we just tipped them out a couple bucks for helping us find the best shady spot for 8 people. Mm-hmm. And it was relaxing. We sat over in Columbus Cove and swam and snorkeled. You know, lunch was served shortly after that. And, you know, typical barbecue island lunch, nothing abnormal from any other island, mm-hmm. But very good. You know, we enjoyed it. There's very little bugs there, which was nice. I don't know if they, you know, have some kind of system set up or it was just a good day to be there. But sometimes you have to fight the bugs when you eat and on the island. And here we had no issues. It was great.
Awesome. It's interesting what goes into, this is totally side rail here, but what goes into the pest control on those islands? Like some of those cruise lines have scientists that study the patterns and put different insecticides out to kill certain species. It's really cool how it all works behind the scenes. Anyway, so you make your way back to Port Everglades. How was your debark?
It was pretty good. I mean, I think we ran into an issue that I'm hoping most people don't. It's fairly organized as far as, you know, the number system goes, and you're able to actually stay in your room later than most ships, which was nice. But we got up, went down, grabbed our coffee, and if I remember right, we were down there right around 8:30, and we weren't expecting to debark until, I think our time was 9:45, and by 8:45, they were calling for everybody off the ship. Hmm. They kind of ran through the numbers very quickly, and the lines to get off weren't that long, honestly. I was kind of shocked, so I was kind of optimistic about getting off the ship early and there not being a huge line, but as soon as we got off the ship, they closed the luggage area. It was due to crowd control. There was way too many people in the luggage area. And so the authorities shut down the luggage area. So we were all crammed into hallways. And there was probably 1,000 people in this hallway, just shoulder to shoulder. And we had to sit there for about 45 minutes before they reopened the luggage area. So that was a little disappointing. It was impressive to see them have the ship cleared by 9 a.m. But, you know, it was also cleared by 9 a.m., and unfortunately, we had to suffer in a hallway for 45 minutes, shoulder to shoulder, not moving anywhere. But once they opened up the luggage area, it went pretty smooth. We found our bags, got a porter. The porters were running a little behind because of the you know, I'm assuming they were busy with the other people that were just leaving. So we had to wait a minute for a porter, but we got one. Actually, we ended up with two, and they took us to the mobile passport because Port Everglades offers the mobile passport mm-hmm. option for your customs. And they took us to that line, and come to find out, for some reason, they didn't tell us why, they weren't using mobile passport that day. So we got a shorter line than the rest of the crowd, but they were still waking us. We actually had to go dig into our backpacks and find our passports and pull everything out again so that we can go through customs. So that was a little disappointing. And overall, from the time we left the ship till we got to the curbside waiting for our lift, it was about a total of about an hour and 10 minutes. So that was, you know, a little disappointing for that 45-minute wait. Yeah. But if you take that out, it went really well.
Yeah, looking back on this cruise, give us a couple of, because it sounds like you certainly have a couple of pros and a couple of cons.
Honestly, the embarkation, for a ship this size, they got it down. Just mm-hmm. everybody needs to make sure they do their pre-board check-in, take their pictures. If everybody does everything the cruise line asks, it's seamless. The ship flow, obviously, like I was mentioning earlier, was great. Everything moved quickly. There's a ton of things to do on sea days. As far as cleanliness for 6,000 passengers, I never saw anything. At one point, it was kind of funny. I was walking out of a lounge holding my drink, and I was looking for a table or something to set my drink down on because it was empty. And just so happened, the captain was walking by, and he actually grabbed my drink and said, "I'll take care of that for you," and grabbed it and went off with it. And so it seems like it doesn't matter who you are on the ship. You're there, you're going to make sure you're picking up after the guests and, you know, not leaving anything behind. So it was very nice to see that, you know, entertainment best at sea, I think, right now. We did have a little issue with our rooms. There were some pills found in my son's room, and, you know, our room attendant was a little rude to my wife and I at first. And I wasn't even trying to make a big deal out of it. I just asked them to re-clean my son's room and just talk to our room attendant. Wasn't asking for anything more. And towards the end of the ship or the cruise, they offered us a future cruise credit just for the hassle. So, you know, Royal Caribbean really seems to have the guest experience in mind. Unfortunately, on the downside, you know, the bartenders weren't quite trained properly. We never got a drink poured the same way twice, even with the Bionic Bar, which was kind of weird. I ordered the exact same drink twice, and one time it was over-poured with, it was pretty much all vodka and a splash of orange juice, and the first one was done perfect for a screwdriver. So, and that was even at the Bionic Bar, but the bartenders had some issues logistically, like I was mentioning, lines around the ship. There's no staff telling people where to go, mm-hmm. no sign telling people where to go to get off the ship for when you're in port. So it's kind of, you have to be a little patient there. And then elevators, for as many people on the ship, they're cramming people into these elevators. There's no ventilation at all. So if you're going more than three decks, you know, you walk off dripping in sweat. Everybody was complaining there's no ventilation in the elevators. It was very hot. But other than that, I mean, I wish there was a few more activities at night. There seemed to be a lack of activities around the dinner time area. But all in all, honestly, the cruise was great. I missed the sea views, but my son and the kids didn't. Mm-hmm. You don't get very many sea views on this ship. You have to really hunt them out. But it was a smooth ride. We actually had some fairly large swells at one point, and I couldn't even feel it. So if you're kind of worried about being seasick and you're a first-time cruiser, definitely go for a larger ship like this. I find the larger ships, you don't get the motion. And even with the swells we were having like 5-6 foot swells, which you would usually feel on the smaller ship. And this was just gliding smooth. It was quite nice.
All right. Well, final thoughts of Harmony of the Seas.
Get on. If you are a traditional cruiser and have never been on a large ship, go in with an open mind. You know, don't expect to be able to just sit and watch the water go by, but enjoy what they have to offer and look for some of the things that you don't normally see on cruise ships. I forgot to mention, we did the tri-dive on this cruise, and that was a fun experience. You know, for those who aren't certified in scuba, you get to put on all the gear and swim around the pool and see how it feels to scuba dive. And a lot of people don't even realize it was an option on this ship. They saw us and we were walking up asking questions. So, explore the ship. Don't be afraid to walk into rooms that seem to be closed off because of an event going on. We walked into a few different areas where there was live music and it wasn't even advertised in the cruise compass. So definitely explore. Don't be afraid, and don't just get stuck to one area of the ship.
Very good. Parker, thanks for sharing your review, buddy.
Thank you.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Let's see what we've got for you. Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.